I'm not tired of it yet. I was thinking about it earlier. I thought I might be. I'm not.
How could you ever get tired of that?
No, just the song.
One, I don't think I could ever get tired of that.
The Hully remix, I am in for. I'm here for that forever.
I'm waiting, okay? And hear me out, guys. I'm waiting for somebody, the next wedding, like next Saturday when some or Friday night, someone's getting married, and the Brett Hull remix is what they play in lieu of the real one.
Well, that's actually a really great idea. But that's Ryder's remix. So somebody's going to have to ask him if it's okay.
Well, the man can get paid, right?
He should.
Everybody's got their price.
Hey, work ain't for free, you know what I mean? You know, Brett Hull, I think, Jamie, has been the most interesting guy in St. Louis for weeks now. We've seen his performances at games, at Enterprise Center, while the Blues were on their historic run. Saturday, we got another glimpse of greatness. We know he was feeling it on stage, but he was feeling it pretty early in the parade as well.
Hully's got a mini cup. So
that doesn't surprise me. I'm sure he's had many, many cups.
Hully! How you doing, man?
Man, how are you?
30 years you've been waiting for.
Unreal! It's the greatest day ever.
And we've wanted this parade for a long, long time. How's it stacking up to what your dream was?
It's better than I ever dreamed it would be. We got to do another lap.
Great.
It ain't going to be enough.
Hey, I couldn't tell if you had any fun through that run to the Stanley Cup or not.
It was unreal. Gotta fire up the fans, don't we?
Dude, awesome.
Dude, I tell you what. Okay, for people who think they know Brett Hull and, you know, and they've seen Hully throughout these playoffs, guys, I'm telling you, this is really who he is, though. Like, he's just such an awesome guy. Like, his years of playing here in St. Louis, and then, like, what he's been doing for the Blues since, and then this, you know, this historical run by the Blues. Nobody's happier than Brett Hull. You know, you got Bob. Exactly. I can never get tired of this. But Bobby Plager, you know, you talk about monumental names in the organization. Bobby Plager and Brett Hull, I don't know if you get much bigger than that. And Hully was able to take part, and so was Bobby, and Hully's enjoying the ride. I'm so happy for guys like that. You know, as a former player, you share some of the weight. We joked with BT earlier about how you just didn't get it done, you know. And for Jamie Rivers, that's like, you know, whatever. He's a 6'7" defenseman. It is what it is. But for Brett Hull, having been, you know, this amazing player in the years of great hockey he gave this town, basically gave us the Enterprise Center / Kiel Center when it turned into that, that's because of Brett Hull. Now he gets to ride in a convertible car with his mini cup, with his Ric Flair drip T-shirt on.
Who made that for him, Gloria, by the way?
I don't know who made it. I think it was Sauce Hockey. We don't do free ads, though, here. Okay,
okay.
Runge?
Yeah.
But, yeah, he has his Ric Flair drip T-shirt on. It just, this Hully, this is awesome. I love it. I love the man. I love everything about it.
It is a, it's years and decades of just pent-up energy waiting to come out. Everybody's been waiting for this, and they finally got to do it, and he got to experience it like the rest of us did. He may have done it a little bit better, though. It's time for Take It or Leave It. Jamie, we've been talking a lot about the parade. We've been talking a lot about this Blues championship and the celebration that has happened since. Take it or leave it. Of the Blues who are in Las Vegas, at least half of them have taken a nap.
Well, I'll take it, and my reason behind it is it doesn't necessarily mean they consciously laid down and said, oh, it's time to have a nap. It could have easily been just, oh my God, this is awesome, give me another one, boom, down for the count.
Pass out.
Nap.
Yep.
So you didn't really define nap, and since you didn't define it, I will not limit my answer. So I will say, yes, they've had a nap.
What percentage of players do you think said, okay, I have to go back to the room and lay down for a bit, and then went back to the room and lay down, as opposed to just being forced to fall asleep because of the booze?
A small percentage. And the reason I say that is because it looked like they were set up at one of the establishments in Vegas with a nice pool house, the whole thing with all the big comfy chairs and stuff. So I imagine that was a spot where if you're going to put your feet up, kick back, relax, a little bit of music, some guys dance around the pool, they got a tiger coming out. I mean, why not? It's Vegas. Throw your feet up, have a little nap. Sunscreen, though, Ron. Sunscreen. Yep.
Exactly.
Yes. Okay, take it or leave it. St. Louis Blues start next season with Jake Allen on the roster. Yes, I just did it.
I am going to... Damn, that's a good one. I'm going to leave it.
Ooh.
I'm going to leave it. I think Husso is... But the important part of the equation is who you're going to find to take the contract and take him. That's the hard part. I think they have somebody they would be comfortable with as their backup, but it's about opening that space for him, right?
I'll give you half a point, Orange. Okay, so that's good. It's not a fail.
Well, in this case, if part of the answer is false, the whole thing is false.
That's true.
So no, I could be wrong altogether.
Here's the conundrum that the Blues find themselves in is, one, the contract is not exactly friendly to just trade it away unless somebody's starving for a 1B goalie right now, as great as Jake Allen has been at times over his career in St. Louis. And he has been great. Let's not mistake that for anything. Right now, his label, unfortunately, is that of a backup goalie at $4+ million. So that's tough right now for somebody to just wrap their arms around that and say, yes, we want that. Now, the second thing is, you talking about Ville Husso as probably the young guy who could come up and take those games or be the backup. That's a tough one, too, because you don't necessarily want your blue chip prospect young
to be
goalie,
taking backup minutes.
To be getting that one every six,
right,
seven games.
Right.
He's not really getting the reps. You know, you're better off to put him at the American League level playing every single night. So it's a tough one. That's a tough position the Blues find themselves in. And I will say that I'm going to take it that he's here for opening day, in baseball terms, opening day for the St. Louis Blues in the fall.
What do you got for us, Meat?
Okay, we've got to get down to the bottom of this. I've seen all kinds of different things on Twitter, so let me know. The video that allegedly shows Brett Hull walking down Market at 3 a.m., take it or leave it, it's a phony.
Okay, I know the truth. So, yeah, it's a phony for sure. So whatever the answer is for that one, take it, I guess, that it's a phony one. Because I've seen people on the text line, too.
Right.
A lot of people think it is him, yeah.
It's not him. If you watch the video without beer goggles on while you're watching it, you can clearly tell it's not Brett Hull. One, Brett doesn't button up his short-sleeve dress shirts. He always leaves them open with a T-shirt underneath. So that's, you know, clue number one if I'm playing CSI here. Clue number two is the guy's talking in a southern drawl. People, Brett Hull was born in Canada, for one thing, grew up in the Minnesota area. He does not have a southern drawl in his voice.
Alcohol makes you do some crazy things.
It's
though,
not
Jim.
Hully. I know it's not Hully. One, I was with the man on the night that this is that's in question. So, you know, I've got that for proof. So I'm tired of seeing it. I get a little defensive. I do. Because Hully and I are good friends and played together for a long time in Detroit here. And listen, he doesn't need any help with this stuff. Let's just be honest. He doesn't need any help. If he was going to do... Exactly, Hully. That's how I feel, too. But if Hully was going to do this, don't you think he'd have been like, hey, it's Hully. You know, he'd have been like, I'm back. Exactly. He wouldn't have been walking down the street in relative obscurity. No chance, boys. Sorry. My man does it better than that.
Put to bed, that is not Brett Hull in that video walking down the street at 3 a.m. the night before the parade.
Not 100% not Brett Hull.
Got a lot of texts regarding Brett Hull today. Take it or leave it. Brett Hull is St. Louis's Charlie Sheen minus the HIV.
Oh, my God.
Well, allegedly. Allegedly.
What?
I don't know if that's laugh-worthy.
Wait, what did you say? Minus the what?
HIV.
Does Charlie Sheen have that?
Isn't that a thing?
Yeah. Wait, hold on.
Where have you been, Ronge?
Where have I been? I don't know. That's a great question. I don't remember the HIV part.
I don't think you can get
Seriously.
It from kissing, though, Ronge.
Oh, well,
yeah, 2 years ago, 2017.
Oh, man, I do not remember that.
Thanks for reading the show
he
plan.
He's a good
Ron.
Kisser, though.
Holy crap. That's in the show plan?
Did you say Brett was a good kisser? Is that what I heard?
No, Charlie Sheen.
Oh, okay.
What in the... Go to the next one.
Take it or leave it, Brett's Gloria remix will pass Laura Branigan's on iTunes.
I'm going to leave it just because it probably hasn't been uploaded yet. You can get it on Napster, though.
Well, I'm gonna leave it just because apparently Mike Ryder owns the rights to it.
Yeah.
So unless he's willing to sell it, you never know.
Mike, did you put it on SoundCloud? You should put the remix so on good. SoundCloud.
I tell you what, guys, being live and being about 50 yards from him when that went down was incredible. In fact, I didn't want him to stop.
I know.
I was like, let dude, him I, sing. So, let him sing.
I was in front of the stage, and I could just hear everybody was laughing. And just they were, I mean, it felt like most people were just with him, you know? Like, they weren't, I didn't hear anybody saying, like, get him off the stage. Most people were having a good time with it.
Listen, Brad Hull is all of our spirit animal right now. Let's just be honest. Everything he did throughout the playoffs and how happy he's been. And let's not confuse that with anything else. Brad Hull's thrilled for the success of St. Louis Blues. And that's why we got the best version of Hully. That's why.
It was awesome. Hey, only a person in their right mind would come up with something like that.
Hashtag, we went Blues.
That's exactly right. That is Jamie Rivers. That was Brett Hull. Jamie Rivers with me. I'm Chris Ranji on the Fast Lane. And speaking of the Blues, what's up next? Because the offseason is here, and we're only a few weeks away from the preseason. So a lot has to happen between now and the middle of September. We'll talk about what's next for the Blues coming up next on 101 ESPN. Darren Pang on the morning show with Randy Carricker and Michelle Smallman. That was earlier today here on 101 ESPN. Jamie Rivers and Chris Ranji are hanging out with you for the remainder of the afternoon. And the reality is this. It is the NHL. There is a salary cap. It is a hard cap. And some very good teams go through this every single year where they have to kind of retool. You don't get to keep the same guys around moving on into next season. Not all of them. There are going to be a lot who are back, but you're going to be missing plenty as well. You've got unrestricted free agents in Gunnarsson and Maroon, the RFAs in Barbashev, Binnington, Blay, Edmondson, Fabry, Sanford, Sundqvist. So, and for Binnington, Edmondson, Sanford, and Sonny, those guys are all arbitration eligible. So you've got a lot of decisions the Blues have. And you know what? Rivers, there isn't a whole lot of time to do it either, because you've got the draft this week. You've got camp coming up. Before you know it, preseason games are happening in September. It's a very quick turnaround for the Blues.
Yeah, it's sad. You know, it is. I mean, listening to Panger describe it, he's bang on in what he's describing, but it's almost like, wah, wah. You feel so bad. Like, oh, man, we just got here.
Right.
We don't want to leave. You know, one more song. I mean, I know you've been down that road before. Oh, so
every time.
But yeah, the reality is that, yeah, you're going to have some decisions to make. Mitch Rehnke's a heck of a up-and-coming defenseman. Does he fit into your mix? Once again, will he get the amount of ice time necessary at the NHL level to keep developing him? Or is it a better play to leave him in the minors? Do you look at exploring Carl Gunnarsson coming back? I love Carl Gunnarsson. I think he's amazing.
He's your vanilla ice cream.
Vanilla ice cream, right?
I mean, I love that analogy you use.
But I joke when I make that analogy.
But it's a good one.
But it's true, you know, like you don't appreciate vanilla ice cream until you can't have it anymore. And like, well, that's pretty good vanilla ice cream.
Yeah.
And that's Carl Gunnarsson. And right now, he's so great with Alex Pietrangelo. Whatever their combination is, he's a very calming effect on Petro. And Petro plays much more aggressive with him. I don't mean physically, like running people over. He's up in the play more. He pinches off plays. He's more on the attack. And that's because he has no doubt that Carl Gunnarsson can handle the job, you know, back behind, holding the fork down for him. So that's going to be an interesting one for the Blues, how they visit that, what Carl Gunnarsson's going to want. I think he's in $3 million range this year. Is that something they can afford? Going to be tough because Joel Edmondson needs to get paid. He does. He took a very team-friendly, cap-friendly deal last summer because they had just signed Pat Maroon. So many question marks surrounding the Blues. And Joel Edmondson, he said, I'll take your deal. But moving forward, probably going to want to get paid. He was in and out, in and out, in and out near the end for the Blues. But he is going to be a huge part of the future for the St. Louis Blues. And, you know, we haven't even gotten to Binnington. Well, we did early in the show. We talked about Binnington. He's going to get paid, too. To what degree, we don't know. You cannot lose Barbashev, in my opinion. The Moscow missile. That's what I've nicknamed him.
Oh, nice.
I mean, he just out there just smashing into people, doing his job. I mean, unbelievable. Oscar Sundquist, you're not losing him.
Which, and this is an amazing conversation to have. And every time we talk about him in the positive way, we have been doing it for weeks now. It's stunning because of how people looked at him months ago, because he wasn't playing anything like he. Look how damn important he was in the game he missed because of the suspension. That's a it's unbelievable.
Well, both those guys, right? Barbashev and Sundquist.
Correct.
We lost both those games.
Yeah.
Like crazy. I mean, you don't directly lose one because of a player, but guess what? Yeah, you kind of do sometimes. You lose that grit, that it factor that you've had for a number of games makes a difference. And, you know, Oscar Sundquist is an interesting story because rewind to preseason, we just talked about it earlier. The Blues is knocking at our door, right? Like, what was it, September 15th or something like that, preseason hockey. Thanks to preseason hockey and Tom Wilson, we ended up with Oscar Sundquist. And I say that, and people are like, what? What's he talking about? Is he still drunk from the parade? No, I'm not, people.
Believe it or not, no, JR he's good.
I'm straight right now, I think. A couple of Red Bulls, and I'm doing fine. However, here's the deal. Oscar Sundquist cuts across the middle. Tom Wilson takes the left side of his face off. An awful, awful injury for Sonny. So Wilson gets suspended. But at the time, I believe, I don't know this, I'm not privy to the information, but I believe Sundquist may have been on his way down to the minors because there was no ice time available for him at the time here, at least not at that point. Sticks around because you can't send down an injured player. He gets back to being healthy. There's another injury that happens. Boom, Oscar Sundquist goes back in the lineup. The rest is history.
So maybe one of the only times in history getting your head taken off actually did well for you.
I mean, I don't recommend it, Ron.
Right.
Okay?
I wouldn't go that route.
It's a high risk, high reward, let's just say. But no, in all honesty, you know, Sonny was a very reliable player and did his thing, but he wasn't outstanding for the St. Louis Blues. And when he came back this time, whether it was a little more grizzled because of the experience or realizing that maybe it was almost out of his reach that he was going down, I'm not sure. I don't know that. I do know that he was a much better version after that, and since then he's been incredible.
Because we have to get moving on here, and let's do this quickly. Of the guys we're just talking about, we mentioned Gunnarsson and Edmondson. Their salaries very similar. Gunny 2.9 this past year, Edmondson $3 million, so very similar contracts. But then you include Maroon. I think he's back next year. I don't see how you let him go. Maybe he gets something lucrative somewhere else. He's unrestricted, so
it's going to be interesting to see.
Of this group, who aside from him, well, I guess including him too, who's back? Or maybe it's better to ask who's not coming back from this group.
Yeah, I think for time purposes, because I know how you like to stay on time.
I'm very good at it too. Shut up, Ryder.
I think, you know, the odd guys out here, I think Carl Gunnarsson, just mathematically, I don't think you can pay him and Joel Edmondson both to come back. I think you have to make a decision. Eddie's younger and ceiling's probably higher. Carl Gunnarsson had a couple injuries down the latter part of the season. I think Carl Gunnarsson, unfortunately, doesn't come back. I love him. Love my vanilla ice cream, but I think somebody else will have to indulge next year. It won't be the St. Louis Blues. Robbie Fabry, I think his days are probably done here in St. Louis. It's not a great thing when you're a regular healthy scratch. I've been down that road, Ronge, and that usually means they're looking for other places for you.
Yeah.
And it's just a reality. I think he is an NHL player. I think he'll help out somebody down the road. I just don't think he was going to get the opportunity here. But I think those are the two guys. If I'm going to single out two guys, I think those are the two that will not be for sure on the roster. That's my opinion.
Some changes are coming here in the next several weeks as the Blues celebrate their cup and get ready for the 2019-2020 season, one in which, by the way, their games will be airing on 101 ESPN. No big deal. It's going to be great, though.
Not a big deal, eh?
We are very, very excited about that. We are also excited to hear from you because it is time for you, with whatever questions you have for us, for Rivers, myself, for Brad Barnes, get your text messages in to the Hot Shots text line 65780. The Sports Six Pack next on 101 ESPN. with legendary Blues defenseman Jamie Rivers. And he spells it with a C, defenseman. Yeah, he does.
Defenseman.
I'm Chris Ronji. This is the Fast Lane. Randy out. He'll be back tomorrow. Did I say it right?
No.
That's not how Canadians do it?
No, I do enjoy that perception, though, so roll with it.
Come on, man. Most Canadians
oot?
I know do.
No one oot? Says oot.
Or a boot.
A boot?
Yes, they do.
No, they don't.
And they say I'm sorry.
Say I'm sorry.
Well, I'm sorry that I'm I don't sorry, say eh? It the way you think I should say it.
Sorry, eh?
So BT's got the Cardinals tonight. Randy will be back tomorrow. We had the morning show today. And with your questions for us here on the Sports Six Pack, here's Barnes.
This sounds weird to hear that. Does the Stanley Cup victory, does that put any more pressure on the Cardinals to make the playoffs? Jamie, when you were playing with the Blues, did you ever get that when the Cardinals would have success?
I don't know if it puts more pressure. I think that, you know, I'll say this. We, as the media, make more of it than I think the players do. You know, it's certainly, like we're talking about it today already. Well, you're up, Cardinals. Your turn. Well, yeah, okay. I don't think the guys in the clubhouse are going, whoo, dang, pressure's on now.
We've got a four-hour show to kill. We got to do something.
If anything, it would be just, on...
You asked.
On the organization and not the... The players don't care. But I think, if anything...
I'll agree with you, Ronj.
If anything, the... I would say this run has taken pressure off them, at least temporarily, because nobody's paying attention to what they're doing. None. They had the watch party at Busch Stadium, and I heard people, which was an awesome thing, by the way. And I almost went to it. I ended up going to Enterprise for Game 7 instead. But I was looking forward to the Busch Stadium thing. And I know there were at least a handful of people making jokes about the fact they were going to air both games simultaneously because the Cardinals were playing, and they were going to put that on the out-of-town scoreboard, and they were going to put the Blues game on the center field scoreboard. And people were like, we're not watching that TV, you know? Like, we
well,
don't
look,
care about
if
that.
You put it in that context, well, right. Yeah, that would have been tough for, yeah. But, look, come on, let's not lose total perspective here of how amazing the St. Louis Cardinals have been here and how many championships, plural, they've brought to the city.
No question.
So let's
no
just,
question.
You know, the I don't think the pressure's on them. I think all of us as fans would love to see them be successful as well. So that we get a two-headed monster.
They operate independently, but, you know, if anything, maybe the pressure has been off them lately.
Have you guys ever been in a situation where maybe you're interviewing somebody or being interviewed and it's somebody you've known for a long time, but maybe you forget their name, they forget yours? Like, what do you do in that scenario?
Wait, who? Ed? Who is Ed? Ed Carricker?
he knows Randy.
Wait, for a long time.
Maybe it's their bro name for each other. What's up, Ed? Maybe that's when Holly went Blues.
Oh, I love it. I get the impression, though, Holly probably forgot a lot of names that day.
Doesn't matter, really.
No, who cares? That's awesome. Hey, when's Ed Carricker back? Tomorrow?
I think so.
It'd be better. It's easier for you to spell, Ron.
That's right. It's two letters. IND.
Jamie, you are around these players on the Blues all the time. Who do you think the most misunderstood player is from a fan standpoint?
Oh, boy. Misunderstood. That's a tough one. I don't know, misunderstood. You know what? There's guys that have been questioned, let's say, that I don't feel should be questioned. Like anybody who's brought up Alexander Steen, Alex Petrangelo, even Vladdy Tarasenko, questioned their... will to win or the success that they wanted for the franchise and their leadership, they're dead wrong. And having been around them as much as I have been, I've seen the work that these guys put in off the ice, on the ice, early, 6 weeks before training camp, you know, literally working out until they're almost puking and doing all this kinds of stuff and organizing things for players to be together and making sure that nobody gets forgotten. We've seen Alex Pietrangelo, how he amazing things he's done already with the Cup, Vladimir Tarasenko. So I don't know if misunderstood, maybe under-respected are those three guys.
That's fair. What are the chances of the Blues finding a place for Jake Allen next year and not having to eat his salary?
Oh, boy. You know what? Here's the thing about Jake is, you know, he's been a really good goalie over the years. It just hasn't been the storybook seasons for Jake Allen in St. Louis, or he hasn't been able to be on a championship team. Has he played championship caliber goalie at times? Absolutely. And that's why he's been around for so long, and that's why he's got a salary that right now might be deemed tough to move. But I think if you find the right situation where somebody loses a goalie or they have to make a move to get under a salary cap, this, that, the other, I think he's a perfect fit for somebody that's looking to get some stabilizing in their goaltender spot. Like Pittsburgh Penguins, how much did they miss Marc-Andre Fleury as the 1B goalie? Mm-hmm. They've missed him tremendously. As soon as Matt Murray went down with injury, they didn't know where to turn. You know, so that's a team, you know, somebody like that you could focus on. The Islanders might almost certainly lose Robin Lehner because he had a Vezina Trophy-worthy season. He might be gone. He's unrestricted. Does Jake Allen look good to the New York Islanders? Maybe. My thoughts on it anyways.
It would be about the contract to be the most, would be the thing I think teams would be most concerned about.
Yeah, not but if you have the 1A, 1B with a team that's in a situation similar to the Blues, and once again you fall under that umbrella of the $6 to $7 million overall, taking away the word starter and backup.
Forget about that.
That's right.
Yeah.
Then you can slide a guy like Jake Allen in there as your duo and not worry about the salary so much. As long as your other goalie is not a $5, $6 million goalie, then it doesn't make any sense.
What you spend in total is the only thing that matters.
This one from the Hotshot text line, 65780. How do you respond to your significant other saying that you're listening to or watching too much St. Louis Blues Stanley Cup championship coverage?
Is there anything else that needs to be said?
I don't think so. I don't think so at all.
I don't think it's possible right now.
What a run, man. By him, by everybody. Just a great run. Somebody texted in and they think that he says, "Not bad, how are you?"
No, it's not even close.
No, he said,
"Not
how
even
are
close."
You? No,
not even close. That's maybe Ed, that was Randy that texted in and said.
No, Brett Hall called him Ed. It's clear as day.
It's Ed.
Yeah, that's not bad.
All right, Rivers, if you had to pick one Blues alumni that could go toe-to-toe with Brett Hull in a drinking contest for a full day, maybe not a contest, you're just going to go hang out with Brett for the day. Who's it going to be?
Oh, my God. Do you know how many guys I played with that could hang and bang like that? Oh, my God. The one guy that comes to mind that I'll never forget was Esa Tiikkanen. This guy brushed his teeth with Jack Daniels. I'm telling you. It's incredible.
Well, I believe it's sanitary.
It kills the germs, apparently.
Yeah, exactly.
But, yeah, this guy was a legend. Certainly, five Stanley Cup rings, I believe, for Esa Tiikkanen over the years. And when he played here and I was a young guy, he tried to educate me on whiskeys one night and fine whiskeys. I didn't understand a thing he had to say, but I was very grateful that he paid for the tab.
Well, see, that's a nice thing.
Yeah.
Grateful for anybody who pays tabs.
Love the guy. But he could be a guy that, goes toe-to-toe with Holly, for sure.
Woo.
Is that it?
That's it.
Oh, man. Well, thanks a lot, Big Sizz.
Thank you.
I never call you that.
Thank you. Thank you.
Do you like it or no?
So, I'm not really right. Sure.
Okay.
Not...
So if I'm wondering this, I'm not the only one, okay? Because it's meat around here. It's Barnsey, Brad, whatever. Where did Big Sizz come from? Because every time I hear it, I'm confused.
That was a high school thing. We were working out in high school, and I was just Okay, Jamie, I don't know if you know this. I'm a hefty guy. Mm-hmm. High school is a little heftier, and I was just sweating away, and somebody told me they could fry bacon on my back, and it was Big Sizz ever since then.
Big Sizz.
These guys got a hold of it.
Now, I was going to say, how did they get a hold of it, though, Big Sizz?
I don't even remember. I'm sure I told them at some point. I got stuck with meat on my first day, and it's never left since, and it's just kind of taken over.
I think you should roll with meat. Just saying.
You should, for
just
sure,
saying.
Buddy.
Yeah.
Well,
things
anyway,
could be worse.
I don't have a
Big
choice
Sizz
at this point.
You know, just a few moments ago, we were talking about Alex Petrangelo and Tarasenko and the working hard and that kind of thing. That perfectly leads us into what we'll discuss next. There are conversations about the Blues we can probably stop having, Jamie. We'll talk about that next on 101 ESPN. A lot of byproducts come about when your team wins the Stanley Cup and makes this kind of run like the St. Louis Blues did. Who, by the way, the St. Louis Blues are Stanley Cup champions.
I was wondering if you're going to say that. I was going to try and say it. You
least,
beat me to it, Ron. I'm so proud of you.
Beat me to saying what?
Stanley Cup champs.
Who?
Me.
No. Who is the...
There was one?
Who won the cup?
Who's on first?
What's on second?
Where?
Looks like there was some emotion at the pool today in Vegas.
Oh, God. There's always stuff going on.
There's something going on. Some guy named Tyson Fury and his people pushing Blues players or something.
Just jealous because he can't skate.
So before we get to what we wanted to he can't skate. There is video out there, and you're going to see it because it's getting shared, so you're going to see it. But they're all at a pool party up at a hotel and at Wet Republic. Is the name of the pool. And they got the cup, and one of Tyson Fury, who's a MMA guy, right?
Boxing.
Whatever, who cares?
He's not even tough enough to be.
Yeah, nobody cares anymore about boxing. One of his dudes walks up to, is it Bortuzzo?
David Perron.
It's Perron, who's holding the cup and pushes him in the pool.
Gives him a little bump, you know, just enough to be like, man, I'm tired of you guys. And I guess the whole thing is like, kind of, sort of joking, kind of, sort of,
but also
kind of
not. So don't do it, you D-bag.
Pretty much.
Nobody cares about you.
No.
The Stanley Cup is in the house.
He
nobody cares
awful
about you.
Hawaiian shirt on, open to, like, come on, pull it together, man.
Yeah, get your, nobody cares about
the
you.
The cup is there. Pull it together, pal.
That's what people care about. They don't care about the friend of a boxer.
Yeah.
Nobody cares about boxers anymore.
His buddy.
Can't wait till we have a boxer on and we'll say, man, your sport's awesome.
Be like Chaser. Hey, buddy, get out of here.
Is there a boxer named Ed?
Ed.
I can think of. I don't know. There are a lot of things that were said about the team as the season went on, and especially when they were not playing well, Jamie. And that happens. You're trying to find reasons. Why are you not playing well? Why is this guy not doing a particular job? Why is the team in dead last in the NHL in early January? Doesn't matter now. They all won the cup. But there are some conversations we can probably stop having because of what we saw them do. One of them is about a guy named Vladimir Tarasenko and his desire being questioned. I think we can stop asking that question, can we not?
Yeah, it's been an interesting ride with Big Daddy Vladdy, as he's been called now since his postseason heroics. But, you know, you look at it and people criticize that he couldn't pull through in the big game, this, that, the other. Was he a big game player? Is he not? And at the same time as that's being asked of him, I believe he's like second top goal scorer in the last decade of playoff hockey. I think I could be wrong on that, but I think it's like Alex Ovechkin, Vladimir Tarasenko, Evgeny Malkin, and it works its way to the Russian mafia up there. But yep. Just basically, you know, he's scored goals. Now, the St. Louis Blues haven't won a championship, but he's put goals in. But this year, he really silenced any critics with so much more than just goal scoring. He certainly scored a lot of big goals, did a great job. But his play away from the puck, to me, was very evident in how much he was, you know, how much he wanted to win this championship. And one goal in particular is in the last game, he slides across and face first in front of a play to break up a mm-hmm. path. Like, where would we have seen that before from Vladimir Tarasenko? This is a guy that, and all the extracurricular things he's done too, his whole persona is massive right now in St. Louis. His stock is so high for every other reason except simply putting the puck in the net. And I think that says a lot about the guy.
He became the player everybody wanted him to be. In the second half of the season, there were times diving in front of the puck was happening in the regular season, too. When they started to go on their run, he had been doing this stuff. He has now been doing this stuff for several weeks. Another one, Doug Armstrong can't get it done. Can't get the big one. Well, he finally did.
That's a tough one, too, because at the end of the day, the GM doesn't put the puck in the net or stop the puck from going in. Now, he's taxed with the job of finding the guys that do those things, and sometimes it's a lottery. It really is. You know, you go buy your ticket, you hope you win, you think you pick the best numbers, but you don't always win, right? And so this is tricky, but I think Doug Armstrong, and talk about a season two where this has been polar opposites for Doug Armstrong in three different directions. One, we start top of the world. Everybody's predicting the St. Louis Blues to come out of the West because, oh my gosh, what a great job Doug Armstrong did in the offseason. Boom, halfway through the season, oh my gosh, you better trade all these guys because it didn't work.
Right.
Whoa, what a bad move. And then we find ourselves again here at the top, literally now, as Stanley Cup champions. Obviously, his decisions were the right ones.
Everything he did during the offseason was universally loved, and not by just us here. Anybody we talk to nationally, the Wyshynskis, the LeBrons, everybody we spoke to that covered this team, covered the NHL nationally, said he did a fantastic job. And finally, and this is one I know you are really passionate about, Alex Pietrangelo should have that C taken away from him.
Ugh.
That's a thing that was said quite a bit. It may have been said on this show, too.
Yeah, I'm sure it has been. And you know what? I said it a long time ago, and this is the beauty of it all, is I've never changed my opinion on this one. And, you know, Alex Pietrangelo is not Brian Sutter. Let's just get that clear. Everybody's, oh, well, you know, everybody, he's the comparable for every captain in Blues history. Oh, is he Brian Sutter worthy? You know, not everybody's Brian Sutter. And Alex Pietrangelo, you know what? He was a young captain still, and was he the captain at the start of his tenure that he is now? Obviously not. And he has done some things along the way to improve himself as a player, a leader, an individual, you name it. He's done it. What's impressed me the most about Alex Pietrangelo is the stuff you don't see. The stuff that nobody decides to talk about is the amount of hours that he puts in training, the amount of stuff he does away from the rink to get himself ready. Being at the rink 6 weeks, 7 weeks early, skating every single day and working out and dragging his teammates out there. And I can tell you from firsthand knowledge, requiring them to work their hardest on the ice, not letting them just have a day off and be passengers out there 4 weeks before training camp. This is a guy that's demanded a lot of his teammates that never went noticed because it happens in the shadows. And it's funny how that works, right? The greatest leaders sometimes are the ones you don't see doing it.
It happens with baseball managers all the time.
Exactly. And so this guy now, Alex Pietrangelo, goes from, and I couldn't be happier for the guy because he is a dear friend of mine, and I'm always pulling for him, but I'm pulling for him for the right reasons. And I'm so happy that not only did he go from being a captain in question at one point, now he's the first captain to ever raise the Stanley Cup above his head in St. Louis Blues history. And I don't think it could be more fitting for a guy like Alex Pietrangelo.
And in fairness to the fast lane, I don't think it was Randy Carricker who said he should lose his captaincy. I believe it was Ed. So,
and look, I'm not blaming people for their opinions. You know what? And that's what this world is made of, is you know, opinions, right or wrong or indifferent, doesn't matter. But this is a guy that you need to see him day in and day out at the rink, away from the rink, everything that happens along the way. And I will include Alexander Steen in this as well. These two have been tremendous leaders for the St. Louis Blues. And contrary to popular belief of there being a feud a while back or a divided locker room between these two guys, it's not true. Not true. They've been together the whole way, and never more apparent than in playoffs that both of these guys were leaders and couldn't be happier for them.
Yeah, let me throw another guy in there real quick because he took a lot of grief early, and it was clearly because he just wasn't feeling 100%, and that was Jay Bouwmeester, who has gotten a lot of crap from a lot of people. And I understand where it came from, but when the playoffs were happening, I will be honest with you. When he was on the ice, that's when I felt super comfortable. Just every time he was out there, I felt like he was. I don't know, like nothing bad. It just, maybe that's a wrong feeling to have, but I just kind of felt like nothing bad was going to happen with him out there. I don't know. That was a
big turnaround, and you know, you don't realize that being healthy can be so important sometimes. And Jay Bouwmeester, being the professional that he is, didn't want to miss, didn't want to take time off, came back early. If you ask anybody, the injury that he had in the offseason, the hip surgery, he came back really early and probably not the greatest decision. He got himself back to healthy, got paired up with Colton Parayko. Those guys were incredible. They shut down every single line that they played against in the playoffs and were fantastic together. And one of the best shutdown tandems in Stanley Cup history.
They were really good. And Parayko, man, he became a dude. He became a beast during the playoffs this year. I mean, he always has been, but this is his growth. Unbelievable.
Reminds me a lot of Chris Pronger. Honestly, not the same style of player. So, you know, the comparables, let's just stop at that. But the way it happened, Chris Pronger had a tough go when he came to the Blues, traded for Brendan Shanahan. That's always tough when fan favorite is dealt away. But then we had the playoff run, and we end up losing to Detroit. You know, the famous goal that Ryder likes to play, the Steve Yzerman. You know, mm-hmm. We don't need to hear it again. Thank you.
Yeah, he's just doing it to be mean.
I know. But that playoff year was Chris Pronger's coming out party. I feel the same thing about Colton Parayko. This playoff year that just went by was Colton Parayko's coming out party. And, man, he is just, like, accelerating with it as a hockey player and as an off-ice personality. Who knew this guy had so much personality?
Yeah.
He's tearing it up out there. I love it.
This is exactly when you cut loose. We had somebody texting in asking, wonder if you two would be saying all this stuff if the Blues hadn't won the Cup. Well, the answer is probably not, because they probably wouldn't have been playing this way.
Yeah, but
you
have
to play this way in order to get to the Cup.
I did say the exact same things. I said it last year. I said it at the start of the season. I said halfway through that I still felt Alex Pietrangelo and the leadership group were not the problem. I stand by it. I said it. Anybody can go back and check anything I've ever said. I can tell you one, I've never, ever had a different opinion.
Well, green jacket, gold jacket, who gives a crap? They got the Cup.
That's right.
Jamie, I know you got to leave.
I got to roll.
You got stuff to do. Thanks for hanging out.
I got to go coach softball.
Softball?
Yeah, baseball guy.
Oh, yeah, you're the baseball guy.
That's right.
I forgot all about it. This was fun to do a show with you again just a couple of days after the Stanley Cup parade. I'm glad you had a good time. Glad you hung out with me for the afternoon. Now go win a softball game.
Thanks, Ron. It's awesome being here. I love you guys.
That is Jamie. We love you. That's Jamie Rivers. He is a Hall of Fame in our hearts. You're a Hall of Fame defenseman, my man, for the St. Louis Blues. With us here, and you're going to hear him a lot more, I think, than time's coming up on 101 ESPN. I'm Chris Ranji. Meat's going to hang out with me for the final hour of the program. And you know, security cameras are great and all. That is until you get caught. You'll find out about that next, with all due respect, coming up on 101 ESPN.